I want to go to the back to the book of Ephesians, where we were last week, and I want to deal with one passage of Scripture, amen, and or one verse of Scripture, if you will. Okay, Father, I just pray now as we look to your word. I thank you, O God, that you will minister and bring forth the meal, the word of God, the food, the spiritual nourishment, that each one of your children, Lord, where in their various places of spiritual maturity and walking with you, each one of them would be able to, Lord, take your word and consume it. Lord, that it would speak to their life right where they are and bring change and revelation and renewal and illumination, insight, O God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, we looked at one verse of Scripture, that being Ephesians 4:14, that read that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And so we looked at how Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said that the gifts that Christ gave to the church, part of their purpose was so that we would not remain children, but that we would grow up and not believe everything that we're told. And because there are many false doctrines circulating about, probably many more now than there was in the first century church. And so we then begin to see the importance of the preaching and teaching of God's word. A matter of fact, not too long ago, it was a few years ago, someone walked into the church that I hadn't seen in a while, and this person communicated to me and said, "I just want you to know that I just broke free. God just delivered me from a Christian cult, and I had fallen under their influence, and I left my family, left my house for 5 years." This person who was here for five, they weren't, I'm not saying they were here for 5 years, but they were 5 years under the dominion of false teaching. A Christian cult had left their family, had moved out, left the family, and was in under this dark dominion of this teaching that was errant. It was false doctrine. And you say, "Well, this person born again, oh yeah, yeah, spirit-filled, oh yeah, spirit-filled, but had gotten into some teaching unbeknownst to me. I know nothing about it." And off they went. And by the mercy of God, was rescued. And so we thank God. But at the same time, it underscores why Paul is saying what he's saying, why the Holy Spirit is saying what he's saying through the Apostle Paul. And so God has given these ministries, and thus the attack, why the attack is so extreme upon men of God, and you see them falling like dominoes, falling like flies running into a raid-filled room. They just falling. Why? Because the enemy wants to undermine what God put them there for. See? And so if we ever lose sight of them, when I say we, I'm talking about if the person called by God ever loses sight of that. Paul even said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he said, "After my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock, and from you," Paul is speaking to the elders and said, "from you, men of corrupt mind are going to rise up, wanting to draw away disciples after themselves." My God, what a, for real? We're used to that in the Old Testament. You know, Moses would say, "From you people going to be acting crazy," and all this type of thing. But Paul says to the Ephesian elders, "From you, men are going to rise up." And so we have to realize that, you know, God put pastors there not so that you can walk out and go, "Ah, I felt it today. Pastor preached it today. Whoa," and all this screaming and hollering. And there's nothing wrong with emotion, but that's not why that, I'm sorry, I got news. That's not why he's there. Okay? It's not for one-line zingers and man, he brought pastor brought it today. For real? No. It's so that, and Diane was sharing a few weeks ago on a Tuesday service about the importance of and the oneness of us all coming into the likeness of the head. Beloved, that's where we're going. Come on now. That's where we're headed. That's why the ministry is given to the church. So that the whole body, I'm telling you what, you ever seen somebody with a head that doesn't go with the body? That's a terrible looking thing. It is very important that the head and the body go together. Okay? And so that's why the fivefold ministry was given to the church. So that the body would grow up into all things concerning the head. Life is about a person, beloved, period. It's not about things. It's not about stuff. It's about a person. Our creator. I was thinking about this the other day. I was laying in bed, wherever I was thinking about him as creator, and I was thinking about him as redeemer, and I was totally lost and just spiritually savoring, spiritually tasting and seeing how good the Lord is to first create us. And he was showing me how good he is. You know, if you, he'll come to you and tell you and show you how good he is that he even created us. He didn't have to create you now. He didn't have to create me, but I thank you that you created. But he goes better than that. He didn't have to redeem. But he did. And so we know him as Redeemer first, and then we come into the fullness of appreciating him as Creator. And that is a wonderful experiment. Amen? So what we're going to note in this is that immaturity, in verse 14, immaturity is maintained by believing everything. We said that last week. Children believe anything you tell them. Even high school children. Because your classroom is on the third floor next to the swimming pool. You had to have heard that, I'm sure. I know I heard it and was up looking for the third floor, looking for the swimming pool, asking people, where's the swimming pool? And they were perpetuating the lie. I mean, because I was told a lie, and I believed it. And that's what goes on. But immaturity is maintained by believing everything, while maturity is arrived at by holding on to and declaring the truth of God in the love of God. The truth of God in the love of God. So to avoid the error of false doctrine being tossed to and fro by every wind, one must speak truth. One must speak truth. Reminds me of our Tuesday study that we had here. As we're going through the book of John, we came to John chapter 18, and Pilate is interrogating Jesus, and he comes to him and he says, are you a king? Are you king of the Jews? And Jesus said, did someone tell you this of me, or did you come upon this on your own? He says, look, your own people have rejected you and turned you over to me. I'm not a Jew. He's like, I'm asking you. Then he goes off into something else, and he comes back. And he says, are you the king of the Jews? Now, here's what's so beautiful about this passage of scripture. In John chapter 18, Jesus is asked, who are you? And the whole turning of the Jews over to Jesus was never about what he did. It was always about who he was. Remember that, because we're going to come back to that. Is never about what he did, because he raised dead. Everything he did was good. He never did anything evil. Everything he did. But it was about who he was. And in John chapter 18, the Bible says that we may deny him, but he cannot deny himself. They asked Jesus, who are you? He says, I am the Christ. He said to Pilate, Pilate says, are you the king of the Jews? He says, yes, I am. He says, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? Remember, we're dealing with speaking the truth in love. Pilate says, what is truth? A better question would have been, who is truth? Who is truth? And so, we come to our text for today, which is simply verse 15 of Ephesians 4. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. May grow up into him. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, speaking of Christ. Now, in the Greek, when this is translated, this is the way it's translated. It actually means truthing in love. Truthing. Okay? So that the truthing is not just the speaking, but the living. So when it says speaking the truth in love, it doesn't mean just speaking. It means living. Truthing. Truthing in love, which has the idea of maintaining truth in love. Truth in love in both speech and life. In both speech and life. One commentator wrote this: speaking the truth in love is a mark of maturity, which will enable us to grow up spiritually. Immature people fall into one of two opposite eras. They speak the truth, but without love. You ever seen that? They speak the truth without love. Let me put something out to you. Let me say the name and see if you have heard of it. Anybody heard of the Westboro Baptist Church? I got a head nodding over here. Anyone ever heard? Yeah, okay. Well, if you haven't heard, you maybe have seen pictures. Because this is an example of a church or a people who speak truth but without love. They are the ones who, when the Orlando massacre at the gay nightclub, will show up with signs that says, God hates fags. They are the ones who will stand, they go at military funerals because they don't agree with the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they will picket at a funeral while a loved one is trying to bury their son or their daughter. And they will stand there and picket and say, God did this to this person. You're unrighteous. You're all going to hell. This is what these people do. I mean, they just stand there in your face, and everybody hates these people. If you go Google it, Westboro Baptist Church, everything will come up, and you can read all of it. It's crazy. I mean, it's just ridiculous, these people. Now, does God hate sin? You better know he does. You have to know he does. But is that the way to present it? God hates fags? All gays are going to hell? Homosexuals, lesbians, you all going to burn forever in hell? Is that the way to bring it? No. And so immature people often fall into one of two opposite eras. So the one is they speak the truth, but without love. Because, beloved, if we don't have Christ, all of us are going to hell. It's not just about gay. It don't care if you can be straight, married for 30 years, and never cheated on your wife. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will go to hell and burn there. But I'm not going to bring it like that. Right? Or they love without speaking the truth. On the opposite side is people who love without speaking the truth. So on the one side, now remember, we're studying speak the truth in love. The two go together. We're going to find that out. But on the one side, you have people that speak only truth, and they tear people apart and hurt people. On the other side, a good example of that would have been something I shared 2 weeks ago with Carlton Pearson and the doctrine of inclusion. The doctrine of inclusion that he preaches simply says God loves everybody. And no one's going to hell because God has saved everybody. Now, we would all like to believe that. I mean, come on. There are unsaved people who run around saying, God is a God of love. I mean, you can love anybody you want to. Watch it now, because this thing is being spoken so much that almost Christians be like, yeah, well, didn't God say, I mean, if you marry, you're fine. So why can't two people of the same gender marry each other? I mean, God is a God of love. Hold it. You can't separate truth from love. That's what the world does. And that's what some in the church would even want to do. And so they love without speaking truth. When we do the first, we often brutalize others, pounding them with the truth, but doing it in an unloving way. When we do the second, we don't tell others the truth, thinking that by shielding them from the truth, we are sparing them from the pain. We are not. All we're doing is delaying their maturation. To share the truth with our fellow believers is a mark of maturity, but to do it with love, with understanding, and with compassion. So truth is the content or what is said, and love then becomes the manner or how it is said, right? All right. So instead of saying your breath stinks, let me just get real. Let's just get down with it. Okay. So instead of saying your breath stinks, I've had someone say to me, you have to be discerning. Amen. Amen. So I thought I'd use myself. I had someone say to me before, would you like a mint? I said, oh, man. Bam. I was like, oh, they got me. I was like, okay. It was a very nice way of saying, back up. Okay. We need some space in between. You ever been talking to someone? You ever been talking to someone and they did one of these? Yeah, do you ever know why they took a step back? They're trying to get some distance because the onslaught is coming and they need to. And so, I mean, how do you say, can you say to your friend, can you say to your husband? I'm saying, now I know you can say it, but can you say it in love? Baby, honey, you need a bath. No, years ago, we had, every church deals with this. Someone will come into the church and their hygiene is it isn't what it could be. And someone has to say to them, brother, sister, you're offending people. People can't, I mean, they can't fellowship with you. No, we're not trying to be mean. But in the community that you live in, if there's a standard of hygiene, then you need to meet that standard if you're going to be in community with the people. You hear what I'm saying? So if you're walking on the streets of Calcutta and everyone's smelling, okay, it's okay to smell that way because everyone smells. But if you come into a different, if you're going to live in community with people, then there needs to be some sort of semblance of some sort of standard, right? So that we can get along, so that we can be together. So to speak the truth in love is to remain true to his nature. To his nature and thus grow thereby. So yesterday we're sitting in the house and Tori asked me a question. And I didn't know. I was just responding. And I'm talking to her and my wife says, honey, your tone. Why are you so loud? Why are you? I was like, am I loud? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She says, I said, I'm preaching on this tomorrow. It's wonderful. Help me, Jesus. And so I said, sugar, did I hurt your feelings? She said, no. I said, okay. I just want to make sure. Because we can bring content and the Bible says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And so we love our knowledge. We love when we know something. Like I said before, have you ever said to someone, you didn't know that? I knew that. Come on. I knew that, where we elevate ourselves because of our knowledge. But love or charity edifies. Okay? It builds up. So now, with these two things, these two entities, if you will, that Paul speaks of, he speaks of truth and he speaks of love. So I want to deal with truth. Let me simply say this. God is, and I love whatever, some of my most favorite studies have to do with this one reality. Truth. Truth. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? In other words, what is the standard? What is the foundation for truth? And I'm not talking about 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 will always equal 4. It better not ever change. Okay? Because if it does, all of this is going to be gone. Right? But God is truth. All throughout the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, Exodus 34:6, then the Lord passed by him, speaking of Moses, when he asked him to show me your glory. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Abounding in goodness and truth. God is the God of truth. Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His work, I love these definitive statements about God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. And when we say that his work is perfect, or there is no sarcasm, there is no, we're not being evangelistic. We're not stretching anything when we talk about him and say his work is perfect, for it indeed is. If you said anything about my work or your work being perfect, then we would be stretching something, right? But not with God. For all his ways are justice. All his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. A God of truth and without injustice. I was reading this scripture and I'm thinking about you and I, and I think so many times about people who are describing heaven and when they go to heaven, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, you have no idea what heaven is going to be like. You can't. Why? Because when I read the scripture, I want you to, you know, people that describe heaven, they say flowers and all this thing, but you know, things that they never describe are things like this, which you and I cannot imagine. You and I cannot imagine a world without injustice. Cannot, have no concept. We have no reference point for a world without injustice. Because just driving here today, when somebody cuts you off and you feel slighted, you're like, man, that's not right. I mean, come on, dude. I'm driving. Dude cuts you off. That's unjust. That's not right. Just that little thing is not right. And you feel it. You feel it. And so it goes on and on. Well, heaven, beloved, there will be no injustice. And we know nothing about that. We don't even know how that looks. We don't know how that feels. But heaven is going to be that way. Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his work is done in truth. Everything God does is in truth, for God cannot lie. Titus 1:2 tells us. God cannot lie. So all of his work is done in truth. Psalm 25:10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And so when you're dealing with people and you're like, and sometimes you want people to be cut off. Come on, you know how it is, Lord. I'm tired of dealing with this person. All his paths are mercy. God has mercy on people. They talked about, who was it? Who that dude turned 90? Fidel Castro turned 90. And he's up there criticizing Obama about something. And I'm like, this man is 90 years old. This communist is 90 years old. What doth he mean to still grace the earth? You know what I mean? Thoughts like that just cross your mind thinking, well, this man is responsible. He should be gone. You know, that's us. Put it this way. No, that's me. I'm like, he should be gone. You know, God. Oh, my God. I tell you sometimes, beloved, sometimes I say to myself, Lord, I don't know you. I do not know you. Because you are merciful beyond my ability to comprehend. Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Notice how many times mercy and truth are coupled together. Why? It's very simple. Once the truth is known about me, I'm going to need a whole lot of God's mercy. Once the truth is known about you, come on, and God knows it all, you're going to need his mercy. Mercy and truth oftentimes are coupled together in Scripture. And we are so thankful that it is, that they are. Psalm 119:151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. All your commandments. Psalm 119:160, the entirety of your word is truth. And so when it's saying that we're to speak the truth in love, we're to speak the truth, I'm trying to just bring us down to, well, what is truth? Well, as I said, who is truth? Proverbs 23:23, easy reference to remember. 23:23, buy the truth, sell it not. Talks about our responsibility toward truth. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So when it comes to our responsibility regarding truth, we are to expend ourselves to obtain it and to keep it. Okay? The New Testament, Jesus said this in John 8. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the New Testament, Jesus pointed to his word. He said, if you abide in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 17, Jesus prayed for the disciples, praying to the Father. He says, sanctify them in your truth. He says, your word is truth. Well, what is God's word? Jesus. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Gospel of John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth. Torukai. Great. Listen, truth is coupled with grace. Oh my God, how we need. Listen, beloved, truth establishes everything, but grace redeems everything. Everything God did is founded upon his truth, but it's his grace that redeems all things, because we, though we established as true, God created us, we didn't remain true. We gave in to the lie. And it's his grace that came and redeemed us. And so let me declare to you this. Truth is a person. Truth is a person. It's not just objective facts. 2 + 2 = 4. Well, that's true. Okay. But 2 + 2 = 4 did not create everything that you see. Truth did that. The person who is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. He declared it. He's saying, you are looking at truth when you look at me. He's not being an egomaniac. He's being God. He's telling you the absolute truth, and that you have no life apart from me. He told his disciples, without me, you can do no thing. And so when God declares the absolute necessity of his being, of his purpose and his presence in our lives, he's not overstating anything. John 14, truth is a person. John 14, Jesus says, I'm going to send to you the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Truth is a person. So when the Scripture says that we're to speak the truth, it takes on a whole different meaning when we understand that we're to speak Christ And thereby speaking Christ, we grow up into the head who is Christ. As we speak Christ, what is that saying in John 15? Oh, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. He's saying that what you speak and what you bring forth is always Christ. It's always truth. It's always me. You want to minister? You want to bless somebody's life? You want to help somebody? Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Now, in this world, you're going to get in a lot of trouble speaking the truth. But you know what Jesus said? Speak it anyhow. Speak the truth. And fear not those who can kill the body, but after that they've killed the body, they can't do anything with the soul. He said, rather fear him who can cast body and soul into hell. And so don't fear what's going to happen to you. Keep speaking the truth. The truth. And as I said, the truth is not a objective set of facts. The truth is a person. Is a person. John 16, 13, Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Where is all truth? How do we get there? In the person of Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So speaking the truth is characteristic of who he is. Thus doing so causes us to remain in him and to grow thereby. But not only is truth a person, love is a person. Love is a person. But speaking the truth in love. We know the scripture that says, 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love is not an emotion. Love is not simply a decision. Love is a living being. Love is God himself. And when you come to talk about these realities, you really can't talk about love first. You have to talk about him first, because love is characteristic of who he is. You see, as people say, that God of the Old Testament, he wasn't loving. He killed everybody. Oh, no, he's perfectly loving. He's perfectly loving. Did he kill a lot of people? Oh, you better believe it. And every one of them deserved it. And every one of us deserves it too. How? But why? Because of his love. And there were people in the Old Testament who were saved through faith. Don't get it wrong. There were many people who were saved through faith in God. Love is a person. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So remaining in the love of God as we respond to anyone or anything causes us to grow in Christ. This is what Paul is saying when he's speaking here in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Truth then, watch this, truth then should never be spoken apart from love. Now, Paul's having to tell the church to speak the truth in love. Why? Because though we're saved, we still sin and we still do that. We'll speak the truth without love, or we'll try and give love without truth, which are both wrong and in error. But he's saying that we're to speak the truth in love. Truth should never be spoken apart from love, for they are one and the same. Truth is a person. God is a person. They're the same person. Therefore, truth should never be spoken without love, which is why Paul is saying, speaking the truth in love, as we do that, we grow up into him. We are as he is in this world, so are we. We don't retaliate. So that when Jesus was speaking, we're reading this a few weeks ago in our study on Tuesday night. Jesus is speaking to Caiaphas or Annas, the high priest. And they said, what did you teach? And Jesus said, why are you asking me what I taught? I mean, the people are there. Go ask them. Everyone heard what I said. He said, I never said anything in secret. And one of the soldiers next to him hauled off and slapped Jesus across the face and said, do you speak to God's high priest like that? Now, the humility of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Listen, church, we know. I'm saying, God, help me. Help me, because the creation hauled off and slapped you across your face, and the creation slapped the creator, and the creator did not retaliate. If the creation slaps this creation, we're going to have some trouble. I mean, I may not be able to retaliate physically, but in my heart, I'm burning you in every hell. I'm burning you in the lowest hell. I'm just... You know, my heart tore up. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I may not even be able to respond physically, but brother, I done killed you a million times. Man. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, Father, help me. Because I'm reading this scripture, and Jesus said, why did you strike me? He says, if I have broken the law, testify against me. Give me the evidence against me. But if I have not done nothing wrong, why did you hit me? Jesus responded in a way, a calm, loving manner. Why? Because God is love. He spoke the truth in love because he is truth and love. Now listen, we have that person who is truth and love living on the inside of us. That's the only reason why Paul could say to the church, but speaking the truth in love. The only way we can do it is because we have the person who is truth and the person who is love living on the inside of us. This is why when you and I, you know, as we're out dealing in life and so forth no one. I'm a confessor of sin right here, right now. Oh, Lord, help me. Amen. And so how the Holy Ghost, who lives on the inside. So I'm cleaning some carpet the other day. And this lady got 15-year-old carpet, white. And it's 15 years old, beloved. And it's not tore up, but it's got some stains in it. And so the woman's very, you know, wants to get everything out, and that's cool. I understand that. And I got everything out. And I had just left my truck for the last time coming back in to settle up. And I'm walking through the door, and she says, do you have any booties? I know where everything's going. I just cleaned her carpet. She don't want me to walk on the carpet that I just cleaned. Now, see, I have a problem with that, okay? I don't have a problem, but I often tell people, because people, when I go into the, some people want me to take off my shoes while I clean the carpet, which I can't do, against OSHA regulations, and I explain it to them, then they be quiet. And then they want me to wear booties while I'm cleaning the carpet. But I tried that one time, walked out on a hardwood floor in booties, almost broke my neck, slipping and sliding the carrot on. Y'all behave yourself now. You understand? Behave yourself. I'm just having fun with you. It's okay. I almost killed myself, and I told them I don't wear booties any longer while I'm cleaning your carpet. I can't do that. It's too dangerous. And so you remember how I told you the other day? The easiest sin for a Christian to do is to tell a lie. And so I'm walking back in the house, and I got a brand new white towel laid out, which I wipe my feet on before I walk back to do my last bit of walkthrough with the customer. Say, look at everything, you know. And I walk in, and she says, do you have booties? I said, no. I mean, just it came out so quick. It just whoosh, just ran right out. I said, no. Mm-mm. And as soon as I said that, why do we get convicted, beloved? It's because the one who is truth is living on the inside of you. So it doesn't matter if the whole world doesn't know you got booties in your truck. He knows and you know, and he convicts you. And the moment I said, nope, so, you know how it went, oh, God, I'm sorry, Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry. But I got the cleanest shoes in all of Fairfax County after I cleaned your carpet. You understand how clean my shoes are? And so I went over, I said no, and walked over to her, to my white tie. I said, ma'am, this is how we do it. Look at this. There's no dirt on my shoes, ma'am, really. Walked upstairs for a quick moment. She praised everything. Said, oh, it's beautiful. Thank you so much, and on and on. But I had to ask God for forgiveness. Now, there's some people who would say, oh, that's no sin. What you talking about? I do that every day, all day long. No. He convicted me, the spirit of truth. Because I had some booties. I don't know how many booties I had, some used pair of booties. I got all booties in my truck. But my flesh didn't want to go back to no truck. You understand? And this is why I'm saying, if my flesh didn't want to go back to a truck, get some booties, you smack me across my face. I got to tell you, my flesh gonna have a problem with that. And so when I see Christ humble himself, never mind the cross. I ain't even got to the cross. When I see him go through what he went through, I just, I say, Father, I'm not like you. Please bring me into your likeness. So as we remain in him in truth and love, we grow up into him who is the head of the church. That's where we're headed. And that's why every time if we even teeter on, or if we slip and tell a lie, that's why he's on the inside bringing repentance and correcting that and causing us to abide in his truth so that we might grow up into him in all things, that we might grow up into him in likeness and in every way. We become one with him in all things. Amen? All right, let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that all of it is wrapped up in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray now that you would equip us and help us, Lord, at all times to speak the truth in love, as the reality of Christ is living in us, the one who is truth in love, that we, Lord, would be one, and that we would continue to grow and to mature, that we might be like our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name we ask, and all God's people said amen, amen, and amen.